Welcome to Act Dad, the Awesome Dad Show. I'm your host, Mark Savant, and I've got a fantastic episode lined up for you today. Larry Hagner joins the show, and he brings tons and tons of experience. He's spoken to thousands of dads through his program, the Dad Edge Alliance. It's a mastermind program with hundreds of fathers who are just working on being their best self. He's a father of four boys, and in this episode, we cover a lot of different topics, everything from the impact that your discipline and being a role model has on your children, to the importance of social media and recognition of the issues there, and just a ton of really good stuff. I would encourage you, after you listen to the episode, to head on over to Act Dad, the Awesome Dad Group over on Facebook, and let me know, what did you think about the episode? I think you're really going to enjoy it. I also want to announce that we just launched an Act Dad Patreon page. My friends, whether or not you can pledge $1 or $100, it makes a difference. A $1 pledge pays for the Act Dad domain for the year. If you appreciate the show and you want to see more programming, head on over to Patreon and check it out. See which tier works for you. With all that said, I appreciate you being here, and I am stoked. I am ready. I am lit. Let's get into the show with Larry Hagner. Larry, welcome to Act Dad, the Awesome Dad Show. How are you?
I'm good, man. Good to see you, Mark. I'm excited. Yeah,
you too. I'm excited too. I've been watching your story here for the past several months, and I'm just really excited to get into some questions. So let's get into it.
Let's do it, man.
Yeah, I'm going to start here, Larry. I've been watching you over the last 60 days on this 75 hard. Can you tell me, what's 75 hard all about?
Oh, dude, it's probably, I mean, I'm a big fitness guy. I love fitness. I have four kids, four boys. So I've got to keep my health in check to keep up with these people, because they all have a lot of energy. If obviously you're a dad listening to this show, you feel my pain. You understand. What this really came about was I really just wanted to get my health in order a little bit more. I've always been into fitness, but I've kind of been, over the years, like I've been really into it, and then I kind of let myself go, and then I'm into it, and I let myself go. And I don't know if many people know this, but I used to actually compete in bodybuilding. And I did, I think I've done 12, 13, 14 shows, something like that over the past several years. Last show I did was in 2011. And that one for me was like, oh man, I'm never doing this crap again. Like the diet sucks. It's too hard. And what I've done over the past several years is I've just kind of gotten unfocused. I really want to do something to dial in my discipline, and I want to keep it simple. Just like any other man, if you're a man listening to this show, you know, like, hey, I'm overwhelmed. I in order for me to do something, I have to go all in. It's got to be complex. Like, it's got to be this diet, these macros, this type of workout, this cardio. Blah. So what I did was I hired a good friend of mine to keep me accountable. And I'm like, dude, I already know what to do. I actually have a background in health and fitness and nutrition, so I know all this stuff. I just need somebody on my ass. So he's like, you know, you can pay me, and I did, because I want to keep myself accountable. He's like, but I'm about ready to start the 75 hard in a couple of days. I was like, what's that? And I should know what that is, because I live in St. Louis, and Andy Frisella lives 15 minutes from me, and I'm a loyal supplement superstore First Form guy. And so I love his stuff, MFCEO. I've been on his show. I'm actually good friends with his co-host, Vaughn. So I should know what the 75 hard is, and I didn't. And so the 75 hard is really just living by five rules every single day for 5 days or 75 days. The five rules are no alcohol for 75 days. Eat a clean diet, no cheat meals, no cheat meals, no cheat days, no nothing, no scoop of peanut butter, no grabbing M&Ms, no nothing. And the diet can be anything that you want. It can be keto. It can be the zone, whatever. My thing was I've got four kids. I know how to eat. Okay. I know how to eat right. What I'm going to do is I'm going to use MyFitnessPal, and I'm going to dial in what I'm eating every day. And I'm going to try to stay within a 30-30-30. So 30 protein, 30 carb, 30 fat. Try to stay within about 1800 calories a day. I never really had like my meals like completely planned out or anything like that. I just ate and I put things in throughout the day, and I knew where I was at. So that was the other rule. Another rule was a gallon of water a day. That one has always been easy for me. I've always drank a gallon of water a day for years. The other one is two workouts a day. One has to be outside. So 45 minutes a day. And I'll get to something I learned about working out. And read 10 pages of a self-help book and take a progress pick every day. Now, I haven't done the progress pick every day, but I've done it every Monday. So I do that every Monday. But the it's really helped me with mental toughness, with discipline, with keeping things simple. But the two workouts a day, what I noticed was, as I was 3 weeks into this, and I felt really worn down, like really worn down.
Yeah.
And this really helped me. And this is what, you know, a great accountability coach will do for you, who's also a nutrition and wellness and fitness expert. He was like, well, what are you doing for these workouts? I'm like, I'm doing CrossFit, and I go and do CrossFit again, or I do HIIT training. And I was like, I always thought these two workouts had to be like beast mode, right? And what I learned was, is like, you know, health doesn't have to be beast mode. Like, I can, as long as I'm out moving my body, it's fine. So I've done a couple, I've completely changed my perception as far as workouts go. So yeah, I do one hard workout, but then I'll walk my dog for 45 minutes. I've never done yoga. I started doing yoga because yoga can be one of your workouts. So I'm like, well, maybe I'll do yoga. I'll try to incorporate flexibility. And I got to tell you, like, the past seven is, I'm on day 65 right now. It is completely and totally changed my relationship with food, my perception of health and fitness, alcohol. I have more patience with my kids. I'm happier. I have a better connection with my wife. I feel confident in the way my body feels. I mean, like it or not, I don't care if this is a dude thing or not. Guys care about how they look. And I'm not saying that in a vain way, but guys want to feel comfortable in their skin. We think that that's a female thing, but guys want to feel comfortable in their skin. I don't care if you think that's a manly thing or not. You boil down to a deep rooted, you know, self-image thing. Guys want to feel confident about how they look. When you feel confident about how you look, the other cool thing is the physical part of your relationship with your wife, I think drastically improves too, because you feel better. So that's the story. I hope I covered everything you want to know on that.
Yeah, I think that's great. Those five core principles. For me, the hardest one would be eating, because I mean, just like you, I've got a wife who's on her own diet. She eats what she wants when she wants. I've got two kids and they eat basically whatever we give them, but they always need their little cookies and candies and all that. And I'm on kind of this, on this seafood diet. I see it, I eat it. Yeah. So that's a tough one, Larry. So I have a question before we get more into the fathering aspect of this. So I guess this has a little bit to do with that. It takes incredible discipline to execute this 75 hard. I can tell just by what you're telling me. What impact do you think that your discipline and focus on this has on your children's view of you and their ability to be disciplined in the future? What impact do you think it has?
Man, dude, it's such a good question, because as I've gone through this journey of, like, you know, it's like I get this little tiny, tiny lesson like each week, I feel like. You know, when I first did this, I was like, well, maybe there's a different way I can perceive how I train. And does every training mean I'm destroying my body? And one lesson I learned is stimulation, not annihilation. And okay. I think that's hard for guys to really get. So that was one lesson. To answer your question, one lesson that really came clear is I added in a personal thing that I did with the 75 hard is every Sunday night to Tuesday morning, I do a 36-hour fast on top of all this.
Oof.
So yeah, because I really want to do that. So my kids have seen me, so they've seen my body change. And the cool thing is I'm up every morning in between 4:30 and 5. I leave before they're even up, and I'm come walking in the door when they're getting ready for school. My 13-year-old shared with me the other day, he's like, I just want to say, I think you're doing a really good job. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, you're already up and I'm texting you like, hey, I'm up and you're in the gym. He's like, and I'm just rolling out of bed. He's like, that's hard work. And I was like, wow, that's kind of cool. It's like a little lesson, like, oh, he's seeing hard work. My 11-year-old, he's kind of a image kid. You know, he likes his hair done a certain way. He's a muscular kid, so he likes looking at his muscles. So he, you know, he saw me without my shirt on and he's like, Dad, you got a 6-pack again, dude, that's awesome. And he was like, how are you doing? And I was like, dude, I'm just not eating candy. You know, I'm not drinking beer. You know, you see what I eat at night. And he's like, I need to eat healthier. You know, like, so these things are, I think, really resonating with them. But I think the other thing too is like the fasting thing, dude, that one, like on Monday nights when we're all eating dinner and I'm sitting there, like last night, I was like, I'm so hungry right now. I can't even think straight. And I literally was like, you know what? It's been 24 hours. I'm going to eat. I'm starving. And my 11-year-old goes, sure, you want to do that? He's like, Dad, if you think it's 6 o'clock, if you make it till 7:30, you pretty much have it in the bag. Like, you're going to bed at like 9. So why, you only really have an hour and a half. And I'm like, huh. Yeah, that's a good point. So the fact that he even realizes, like, because any other 11-year-old kid, I think would be like, yeah, dad, eat, for crying out loud. It's been 24 hours. But he was like, hey, gut check. You know, so he's keeping me accountable.
That's cool that it goes both ways, that as a father, you're there to set boundaries and keep your kids accountable, but they're there to kind of back you up as well. I think that's a really cool dynamic. And look, I really have a problem with that. I'm doing an intermittent fasting diet right now. And yeah. I really struggle with, okay, I'm getting really hungry, but I'm going to go to sleep. And then I wake up at, you know, like midnight or whatever. And I'm like, maybe I'll just have something. And then before I know it, the whole bag of chips is gone. So man, props to you. That's very, very difficult. Very respectable.
Thanks, man. Yeah. That's the hardest thing, man. At night, it's like, big jar of peanut butter just staring me in the face. What's one scoop? You know, like,
yeah. So what I've done to kind of combat that is when the family's eating, instead of eating the whole meal with them, I just have like an apple. And I find that can kind of get me through it. I can get into my evening workout routine and not feel way too fatigued.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to segue a little bit into what you're doing with the Good Dad Project and with the Dad Edge Alliance, Larry. You have spoken to thousands and thousands of fathers. You've got over 300 members in your mastermind group. What is the one big lesson that you've learned as you've taken on this huge challenge? And look, I'm sure there's hundreds of lessons, but what's the big thing that really stands out in your mind now is a big lesson?
Come on. Oh boy, man, there's so many. If I could, I mean, I definitely have like my top five, but I would say that the top lesson is isolation is the enemy of excellence. You know, and that's not a quote from me. That's a quote that I learned from a good mentor of mine, Aaron Walker, who founded View from the Top. So give credit to him for that particular quote. And I didn't really understand that when I joined his mastermind back in 2015. And I was like, well, what does this even mean? And then, you know, you work with men who are living these quiet lives of isolation and desperation, where men are literally surrounded all day, every day, physically by people. And we have a lot of acquaintances. Man, we have a lot of friends on Facebook. You know, we talk to the people at the water cooler at the office, you know, what happened in the game. And, you know, we see our old college buddies and then we relive the college days. But when it comes to like, hey, man, like, how's your marriage with Jessica? Are you guys talking okay? You guys going on date nights? How's the communication? How's the intimacy? Are you guys on the same page with parenting? Like, what's going on? Questions like that, then when you know someone's not a part of my life, they're in my life, that's when men thrive, is when they can have conversations like that. And the key is like-minded men, because not every man is wired that way. And that is totally okay. And I'm not talking about fluffy unicorn rainbows, like, let's talk about our feelings. What I'm talking about is, let's have masculine conversations about a legendary marriage, not a good marriage, a legendary marriage. Because I say this all the time, we weren't put on this earth to have an okay marriage. We weren't put on this earth to struggle and weed our way through parenting. And we sure weren't put on this earth to be broke financially and mentally and emotionally and spiritually. And unfortunately, 9 out of 10 men in the world are walking around like that, but they're sure as hell not going to say so. And I'm not saying men are broken. I'm not saying that at all. We have 350 good guys with good lives who do life with us every day, every week, every month in our mastermind. But what I'm saying is the things that we learn in our life, like, so for instance, what you do for a living, I use this analogy all the time. When you're a cop, you go to the police academy. You go through several months of training. Then you are mentored by somebody. And when you're out working the beat or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, then it's after like a year, year and a half, you know, okay, you're trained. You're good. Here we go. Now, here's marriage and here's parenting and here's finances for the most part, right? And even health, mental, emotional, physical health.
Yeah.
I want to be a cop. Okay, great. You know what? Show up at the police station tomorrow. We're going to give you a gun. We're going to give you a badge. We're going to put a uniform on you, put you in a squad car, and off you go. Go fight crime. Go pull people over, give them tickets. And you're like, holy crap, like, that's unheard of. But that's what marriage is. That's what parenting is. And that's what health is and finances. And no one wants to ask, you know, of course it's perfectly acceptable if you're a newbie on the job as far as being a cop. Like, hey, I don't know how to do this. No problem. Let me show you. But if you say, hey man, like me and Jessica haven't had sex in 3 months and we aren't talking very well, we're kind of spinning in different orbits, I'm worried about our relationship. That, if you're internalizing that, you view that as, well, I'm weak. I'm not up to the task. No one else is going through this. And I'm not going to ask anybody for help because every answer that I have is good and fine and fine and good. How's your day? Good. How's life? Fine. You're not going to talk about the real stuff. But what I can tell you is men really want to talk about that stuff because they want to thrive. And that's the difference. But that was a long-winded answer to living a life of quiet desperation and isolation. That's the enemy of excellence.
Like you said, Larry, a lot to break down there. And I want to kind of dive a little deeper into one of the points you made here. It seems to me that, at least when I became a father, my daughter's 3 and a half now. When I became a father, I started looking for the how-tos. Like, you have the baby, they kick you out of the hospital and like, have a nice life, right?
Yeah.
And there's no real like how-to. I think that there's a lot of context to parenting too. Every parent is different. Every child's different. Economic, cultural. There's a lot of different things to figure out. Why is it that when you go online, you go on a social media and watch the news and you watch movies, it's a bunch of dad jokes and deprecation of men? Why is that happening? Why is that happening? Like, I just don't get it, because like you said, I feel like men are hungry for this. And when you see depression rates and divorce rates and having kids out of marriage rates, like there's a lot of very real problems that aren't being talked about, because I'd rather watch Homer Simpson do something dumb, like eat a donut and step on a rake. Like, why is this happening?
Well, I mean, let's face it, it is funny, right?
It is. And look, there's a time and place. There's a time and place, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a fan of Family Guy, so I get that, you know, sure. About the dumbest dude out there. But I think that's where men really relate to it. That's like, okay, I want to have connections with other guys, so let's do it through self-deprecating humor, which is fine, right? Because sure. I mean, in our mastermind group, man, we all bust each other's balls. We have fun. You got to be having fun if you're going to be doing like this self-help and the growth and all this stuff. Right. You got to make it fun. It can't be so serious, right? But at the same time, yeah, I think there's a huge miss when, like, I was at the movies last week. And I had all four, and I love when my wife goes out, because number one, she goes out with the girls, she recharges, and she does a lot around here, putting up with all this testosterone. So I'm like, man, go out with the girls, go have fun, go have drinks, go have your Cosmos or whatever the hell you're drinking these days, right? And I love hanging out with the boys, like all four, because like, dude, it's guy night, like let's go. So the other night I took them to Top Golf. We hit golf balls. Even my 3-year-old out there, like, he's going to kill somebody throwing that club around. But anyway, then we went to the movies and we got in line at the movie theater, and I'm just got the kids up there. We're buying way overpriced popcorn. And this lady behind me goes, she taps me on my back. Like, no kidding. Taps me on my back. And I'm like, and I turn around and she goes, are they all yours? And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, oh, you're babysitting. And I'm like, no, I'm their dad. I don't babysit. And well, where's your wife? I was like, she's out with the girls. Well, then you're babysitting. I was like, no, I'm not. I was like, if I'm dad, I don't babysit. I was like, we have a babysitter that when my wife and I have date nights, but this is not babysitting. This is enjoyable. Mm. And she kind of like looked at me, and I didn't say it like in a direct way. I said it with a smile and everything, but I'm like, that's not. And if you ask most dads, we don't view ourselves as that. Like, I am not the temporary caretaker when mom's not around. I'm here, and you're seeing a generation of men right now that are so hungry to do this right. Man, it's not even funny. I think people, for the most part, just need to understand and realize that this generation is different. This generation is very, very different. Mm-hmm. And it's because men are hungry and they want to step up.
Well, that's what I try to do with Actidad, is just enable fathers to be proud of that role, because I think that it's probably one of the greatest callings we can have as human beings, is to raise the next one up. And to put that on the back burner is to me something that I think that a lot of people are going to end up regretting.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really sad thing. So I think that's a really great way of handling that is making it fun in your mastermind program with the Dad Edge Alliance, but also saying, hey, we're going to have real substantive conversations, which is one of the reasons that I was really drawn to your podcast. I've listened to a bunch of different dad podcasts. And one of the things I really like about your podcast, Larry, is not only the guests, you have some amazing guests like Jocko and some other great people, but the substantive conversation. It's not just, you know, we're going to drink beer and eat pizza around the table. Yeah. How did that develop organically, Larry? Or did you set it up where saying, hey, I'm going to have a podcast. It's going to be different. It's going to be conversations to help fathers and kind of talk about these deeper issues.
I wish I would have known what I know now 450 episodes ago. Because, I mean, number one, I would have, if I knew anything about branding, and one thing I've noticed about men in general, me included, if you want me to be a part of something, man, I've got to feel cool doing it like I do. And Good Dad Project will always be the overall arching umbrella, right? But Dad Edge is really the brand. Dad Edge, because that what that really insinuates to a man is I know a few things more than the common man. Therefore, I can put these things into place. It gives me that edge where I can go live that life that I really, truly want and desire. So as far as to answer your question, going back to what did I do starting this podcast, it was really I didn't like writing. Like it was a blog and I was like, oh, writing these blog posts, man. Like it'd be great if I could just talk about it. And so I was like, you know, maybe I'll do a podcast. And me and Sean Stevenson, who was, he's the host of Model Health Show. I met Sean back in 2012 and I hired him as a nutrition coach at the time. And then we got to be really good friends. And this was before Sean got really, really big. And then I shared with him what Good Dad Project was. He loved it. And I kind of was like, you know, I think I want to do a podcast, you know, and what would you think about, you know, joining me on that? You know, we both kind of have really crazy similar backgrounds. It'd be kind of cool. And so we did that for 80 episodes. And that's when like Sleep Smarter took off for him and Dad Edge started taking off for me. So we just got crazy busy. He went his direction. I went mine. We still talk. He's a great guy. But my motivation was to not write anymore and to speak into a microphone. And then it evolved into like, wow, I can have these conversations with people way smarter than me and an expert in their field. And then I can learn and then the audience can learn right along with me. If you ask me what I've done differently in the past year, so like you mentioned Jocko, right? My goal for Jocko, and I made sure that this was okay with him. We talked for a few minutes before we started. I'm like, look, and I did this with Dakota Meyer too. You know, I was like, look, I love your story and I highly respect what you do, extreme ownership, you know, Dakota with Medal of Honor. But, you know, so many people have heard this side of you, right? So many people know the business, the extreme ownership, that dichotomy, right? Would you have any objection to taking this in a totally different direction and everything that you've learned and how you have pointed it towards marriage and fatherhood and not so much talk about your books? And Jocko was like, I would love that. He's like, I talk about the same thing so much. He's like, I never get to talk about this part of my life. And I asked him, I said, well, is there anything I need to stay away from? And he gave me one piece of advice and I'm not going to share it because it was confidential. He's like, can you just not ask me about this particular thing? Because it's a bit of a strain in my life right now. And I was like, no problem. So we stayed away from it. But I took that podcast and several other over the past 12 months in that direction of like, what can I bring to the audience that no other podcast has ever heard? And no, this guest has never been able to talk about. And those are the things that I really try to uncover.
Well, I think just like you had mentioned, when you ask questions that you're actually curious about on your own and you dive deeper into these issues, it helps you to grow as a father. Going back to the beginning of our show here, there's no instruction manual for being a father, but I really got to commend you on the questions that you ask, the way that you ask them, and the quality of guests. Just a really good program, really great program.
Thank you.
I want to segue into something here real quick. The show is coming to an end here pretty shortly, but I want to ask you a little bit about social media. It's to me, when we look at society, everything is going pretty good. Like, I mean, when you look at civilization over the past thousands of years, things have been real. We've gone through some really bad times as humans. Right now, I mean, like, I've got clean water, I have access to food, entertainment, knowledge, information. Everything seems great. But depression levels are at an all-time high. What role do you think social media plays in all of that?
Man, you've got to be so careful with that because number one, we as adults, we're up against something, and I'm not saying social media is bad. Man, social media is awesome. It has so many, so many, the world has never been more connected than it is right now. At the same time, the world has never been more connected than it is right now. Right.
I think the problem for me is you have this need to compare yourself with others.
Yes.
I think.
Yeah. And comparison is the thief of joy. And men are, you know, we have testosterone running through our blood. We compare and we compete. That's in our blood. That's in our nature. You can't unwire that. You know, that's part of being a dude. It's part of being a man. And what I can definitely tell you is when it comes to social media, you got to take everything with a grain of salt. Like I've made several posts where I'm all like, hey, look at this. We're so happy. And then like, I'll literally in that same post, I'll be like 10 seconds before this picture was taken, we wanted to throw one kid into the water and the other one was screaming. And for this literally half a second, we were all smiling. Anyway, by the way, it took like 10 photos. This is the best one of the 10.
Right.
And I think people look at that and they're like, oh, they're always happy. But that's not true, man. Like it's messy, but you've got to take what you see with a grain of salt online. And when you see people like, and you have to, it's so much easier said than done, but you have to have an abundance, not a scarcity mindset when it comes to this stuff. I have a good friend of mine, Ryan Mickler, right? Ryan Mickler is, we met when we both started our podcast, we met in a podcast review group. That's how we met. Like we started our podcast within 2 weeks of each other and we really hit it off. And Ryan started Iron Council a year before I started Dad Edge Mastermind. And you know, there's that part of me, right? That I'm like, wow, he's got 500 members. I have 350. And there's that, if I let myself go down that rabbit hole of like, oh, I suck, you know, and you can compare like, oh, you know, his marketing is this. And I'm just like, you know what? No, like, man, Ryan's a good dude. I love Ryan. Like he's my brother. You know, I mean, I'm happy that he is doing as well as he is and creating something he's created. And then I reflect upon like, well, man, we all started somewhere. I remember when Ryan had 33 members because I was a part of what he was doing then. And I remember when I had 33 and then we had 100 and then we had 200. And so always keeping that in check of when you see someone thriving, man, just be happy for them. But also take that reflection and say, what are you grateful for in your own life? Because I think many of us don't do that. We're like, oh, he's so in shape. He's doing this or he's doing that. And I suck. It's like, wow, that person's doing really, really good. Let me think over the past 12 months, like, what am I grateful for? What improvements have I made? Like, what cool things have happened? And I think it drives different thinking.
It's profound what a proper mindset can do for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. Larry, before we get into your rapid fire questions, where's the best place for people to find you?
You can go to, gooddadproject.com is where we're doing everything. If you want, you mentioned the mastermind that we have, you can go to gooddadproject.com/alliance for that. If you just want to know more information about that. As far as podcasts, I mean, man, we're on every channel that I can possibly think of, even iHeartRadio now. I think all you really have to do is Google it. Just Google Dad Edge or Google Good Dad Project. You'll literally find everything we're doing anywhere. So. Yeah.
Dad Edge, as iron sharpens iron. I'll have links in the show notes for all y'all hyperlink clickers. Okay, cool. Larry, rapid fire questions. What is your favorite story to tell or to read to your kids?
Ooh, man. This may sound self-serving, but I think it's such a solid message to my kids. So my 11-year-old wrote a book called Never Give Up No Matter What. It was about his story of football.
Wow.
And the two, we call them the littles and the bigs. So I have older, I have 11, 13, and I have 5 and 3. And the 5 and 3 year old just find it so fascinating to read a book that their brother wrote that's featured in the book. So they just eat that up. So definitely that book.
That's awesome. And I bet he was inspired by dad writing his books too. That's awesome. Favorite vacation. Where do you want to go with your kids? Where's the place to go with your kids?
I'm a mountain guy and I'm a hiker. I love hiking and exploring. So I've taken my kids on several different trips where we've hiked up 2 14ers now, which has been really cool.
Wow.
We've done that in Colorado. I want to take them to the Grand Canyon and hike there. And I also want to take them to, Yosemite to see, El Capitan and, you know, the beauty of that place. So One other thing I'll mention too, my wife and I have been talking about it, is we want to rent an RV and do a 3-week just tour, like of the Badlands and Mount Rushmore and all that good stuff. So I think that'd be cool. By the end, we might be ready to kill each other, but we want to do it.
Definitely not something you'll ever forget. So that I'm definitely on board with that. Larry, pineapple on pizza, yay or nay?
No. Oh my God. Okay. Keep fruit out of your pizza.
Okay. That's it. Look, that's fair enough. That's a very, people have very strong feelings about pineapple and pizza, so I can appreciate it.
Yeah.
Larry, you can talk to anyone in history. Who would be the one person you'd really want to speak to?
I mean, I'm a spiritual person. My spirituality could probably be improved, but I would say Jesus Christ, just because from a spiritual standpoint, but also just complete and total curiosity. Just want to have what it would be like to talk to him.
It's a great one. Even if you don't believe he was necessarily God.
Right.
Certainly someone that influenced the world in a major way. So love that. Larry, thank you so much for being on Act Dad, the Awesome Dad Show. This was a pleasure, man. I wish we had another 2 hours to chat.
Me too, man. This is fun. You're a hell of a host, man. A lot of energy. I'm sure your fans, your audience, man, they love you. You bring it. You bring it to the show. That's for sure.
I try. It's a lot of fun. And just like you'd mentioned earlier, every time I end a show, I walk away with something that I've learned. And that's what it's all about, man. Trying to learn, be better humans, better fathers, better husbands. So Larry, very much appreciate you. Have an awesome day.
You too.
Talk soon. All I can say is, wow, I came away from that interview with a ton of insight. Larry just brings it every time. If you haven't checked out the Dad Edge and the Dad Edge Alliance, I would definitely encourage you to do so. Whether it's his podcast or it's his mastermind community or his blog, Larry just brings a lot of insight to the table for fathers. So I really appreciate him coming on the show. Once again, I want to encourage you to head on over to Facebook and check out the Act Dad group there. It's a fantastic community for awesome dads. And I also want to remind you, the Act Dad Patreon page is live. If you love the programming, if you love the guests, if you love the stories, consider making a pledge. Again, whether it's $1, $5, or $100, everything counts. And I've got some really cool promotions over there. Once you check it out, see which tier works for you. With all that said, I will catch you next week. Same place, same time. Get ready. I cannot wait to see you next time on the Act a Dad Show. Peace.